color blue sing.
Hey, this is Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
Cause all I do is I pray.
experiencing a little technical difficulties here. So, I tell you what we're going to do. We're just going to start the Green Hornet.
You know what?
Where it should
there's
be.
There's a Leica down at the bottom. Pull out that
this is Arthur. Good morning.
Where are you going?
We're going to
it's the 3rd of April.
Seance, Lowry, and get a picture of a ghost.
Now, hey, have you gone screwy?
Maybe so.
Is this what you want?
Oh, that's it. Close the drawer now. I'm going to try to horn in on one of the meetings this Roger has in that new swanky apartment of his.
You go out of your way looking for trouble, don't you?
Wherever there's trouble, there's a picture, Lowry. And I'd go a long way for a good picture. How much money you got?
Money? What's that?
No fooling. Borrow a couple of bucks, will you? I've got to get a couple of flash bulbs and... Say, Lowry, have you got a suit that's pressed?
We have to dress up to go there.
Well, you have to look civilized. Roger has quality folks at his meetings. Oh, here he is now. Is this the Roger studio? Well, I'd like to know if it's possible for me to attend one of his meetings. One of the seances, you know.
Soft music came from an unseen source in the velvet drape room where Raja held his seance. In the incense-filled atmosphere, amid luxurious furniture and silk tapestries, a well-dressed group of people awaited the appearance of the Raja himself. Slightly apart from the rest, sat Clicker Binney, trying to show the same wide-eyed expression of awe the other ladies showed. With her was Ed Lowry.
Ooh, Clicker. This place smells bad.
Shut up, Monk. That's incense.
Yeah, well, I wish we were out of here.
Scared?
Oh, my eye.
Now get things straight. You keep that reflector with the flash bulb under your coat till the lights are out. Then get it set and ready.
You've been over all that before.
Well, don't muff it. Point the reflector at the ghost, and when I click the shutter, the bulb will go off.
And we'll go out on our ears.
That's okay by me as long as we get the picture.
The Raja stepped from behind heavy drapery, with his head swathed in a turban of royal purple and a gown of similar color, came to within a few inches of the floor. His deep-set, heavy-lidded eyes surveyed the people in the room for a minute, and then he took his place at the head of a table and motioned wordlessly for the others to gather close to him. As they did so, the lights became dimmer, and then the room was dark. In an adjoining room, a man and woman stood with many yards of cheesecloth draped about them.
To commune with the spirits that lie beyond the grave, I must ask that all of you remain absolutely silent and concentrate on the hope of seeing one who was dearly beloved by you in life. While you concentrate, I shall place myself in a state of mind that comes close to the borderline, beyond which no person once crossing has ever returned in body. In a moment, if conditions and atmosphere are right, it may be possible that the voice of someone who means much to one of you will make itself heard. Then, if absolute silence prevails and nothing happens to disturb the spell, this spirit may come and let itself be seen. If it is recognized by any one of you, please speak softly and address it by name.
I am to go out first tonight, Jane.
I wonder who's going to call you Daddy this time, Greer.
Not so loud. Where's the megaphone? I've got to get the old sepulchral spirit in my voice.
Right here.
Drape this stuff around me now.
Get the megaphone up to the wall there and start talking. Rogers, press the signal button.
Right.
Someone is near the borderline, calling to me.
That sounds like John.
I must caution you not to speak out until you see him and recognize him. Someone calls me. I hear a voice. I hear a voice. Who calls me? I feel a presence in this room. Someone from the hereafter is calling for attention. Come, give me your name. My name was John. John. John, will you let us see you? Someone is calling for me. I will let myself be seen. Come, John. A friend of yours is here. I would like to have a word with him.
Someone took a picture.
What in blazes?
Who did that? John, where are you?
This way.
Turn on the lights. What is the meaning of this disturbance? This is profane. This is unheard of.
This is the way out.
We got it. We got it.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Green Hornet adventure. Before the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a few moments. To continue our story. When Britt Reed heard through society friends that Roger, the spiritualist, was using his supposed occult powers to persuade widows to trust their money to his accomplice, he had Clicker Binney get a photograph of the specter at one of the seances. The next day, when Britt Reed came to his office, Ed Lowry was there before him.
The girl got a beautiful shot, boss. It shows that fake up to a fairly well.
Good enough, Lowry. We can use that photo in a Sunday supplement in a few weeks. I'm planning on a feature story dealing with these racketeers and ghosts.
Well, I can contribute.
How's that?
Well, I can contribute. There have been a lot of cases where women have been told by the crook they thought to be the spirit of their dear departed to go and sink their cash into phony stocks and bonds.
Where did you get that?
Police headquarters. They've had complaints on Raja.
They have?
Yeah.
Huh, that's odd. The other evening, a couple of women were telling me about him. They'd been sent to a man named Abbott.
That's the guy.
He sold them stocks that weren't worth a hoot.
That's what the cops were told. But the law can't prove a thing.
Yeah, I know it. Yeah, perhaps an expose in the Sentinel would do some good. That's what I had in mind, Lowry.
Roger will sue if you mention him.
Well, let him sue.
And it won't get anywhere, boss. That's the tough part of it. He'll fold up and move to another city if things get too tough here. There's no way to get the goods on him, and less chance of linking Abbott up with him.
That's a confounded shame that this sort of thing can go on unchecked.
You're telling me? I say the way Roger and Abbott worked the racket, it's almost foolproof.
Where's the picture Miss Vinnie took?
Here, take a look at it.
Say, that is something.
Isn't that a Lulu? It's a darn shame the cops can't take that as evidence.
It wouldn't mean a thing.
I know. Roger didn't charge anything for the seance, so the law can't touch him. Hang it all, it's the old story. The law can't touch him.
The law couldn't get at Roger and his racket. But Britt had deeper plans when he arranged for the picture to be made. We find him in his apartment with Cato, his faithful servant and the only living man to know him as the Green Hornet.
This picture, Cato, shows me how the ghost appears and where he comes from.
Yes, Mr. Britt.
And by careful study, I can get a fairly good idea of this man's face in spite of the gauze that's draped over his head.
Yes, sir.
And I think that with that, I can step out at the next seance.
What do you want to do?
Give the Roger the shock of his life.
How?
The Green Hornet's going to a seance. The next ghost that Roger summons from behind those drapes is going to have altogether too much to say. Now we've got to make some plans, some rather elaborate plans.
Yes?
You'll be in on them. Uses a phonograph, Cato, that's probably played from the same back room that the ghosts wait their turn in.
What about that?
Let me see. Abbott, that's the name of the bird that handles the financial end.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to give him an invitation to the next seance. I wonder what he'll have to say. He won't dare say much in front of the guests. Neither will the Roger. But after the guests have gone, I wonder.
Several evenings later, an exceptionally fashionable group of people were in attendance at the seance. Before the Raja made his appearance, he met his accomplice, Abbott, in the side room.
Have you seen all the new people that are here tonight?
I wouldn't know the new from the old.
We're getting the society trade now, Abbott. People with lots of money.
Not so loud.
They can't hear me in the next room. What are you going to do here anyway?
Sit in.
Sort of unusual, isn't it?
Any objections?
No objections, of course. Glad to have you here.
I just thought I'd see if you weren't trying a little double cross on your own hook.
Whatever gave you that idea, Abbott?
You've been mighty quick to suspect me.
I had sufficient reason to.
Okay, Raja. Just don't try anything, that's all.
You better go and sit down. I'm going to start in a couple of minutes.
Right. It should be worth watching, you fake.
Greer.
Ready for the music?
Yes, you may start the recording now. Give them a good show tonight, Greer. Now, Jane.
Yes?
You're to be the daughter of James Stillwell. He is in the group.
Drowned last summer, didn't I?
That's right.
I have the part memorized.
Good. I'll go and start things.
I'm going to ask that guy for a raise and pay one of these days.
Oh, I'm worried about that picture someone took the other night.
Haven't heard anything from it. What's there to worry about?
I don't know, Greer, but just the same.
Keep still. They can't hear it.
Oh,
that mask.
The Hornet.
Your voice is down. You regret it.
What's the matter?
Steady, you crook. You're going to take a little nap. You went out nicely, young lady.
You.
Yeah, that's it. Stay right down here.
All right, Cato.
You can come in now.
They made no noise.
Yeah, that was the big gamble. But I guess they've grown so accustomed to keeping quiet back here that they did it subconsciously.
How's that? You want?
Very well. Hurry and get it set on that machine.
Yes, sir.
Now, where can I? Let me see. Oh, there's a good place to hide.
There is.
Have the car ready right outside the window?
Yes, sir.
What time is it now?
10 o'clock.
We've got to handle things just right. Stop the machine.
If it is recognized by any one of you, please speak softly and address it by name. Concentrate, my friends. Concentrate.
Now for it.
We must all concentrate. There seems to be a disturbing influence among us.
Is there someone called Lucian?
That's me.
Concentrate, my dear. Concentrate. Do you speak from the hereafter?
I speak to someone called Lucian.
Vincent. Vincent, is that you?
You wish to ask? Something.
Something is wrong.
Yes. Yes, tell me, dear. Are you happy?
Yes, Lucian. I am happy.
Before you left, I never knew. Was there any pain? Did you suffer, dear?
There was no pain.
We miss you so much.
Lucian, there is one thing you must do.
Yes. Yes, tell me.
It concerns money.
Yes. Yes.
You must invest your insurance. Take it from the bank and invest it.
But I don't...
Hear me, Lucia. A good investment house. The Gurney Sanders.
What? Concentrate, please. Do not disturb the spell.
I remember the name. Vincent, tell me. Tell me a little more. Vincent, I can't see you now. Tell me a little more. Vincent!
Concentrate. Concentrate, my friends. Do not break this spell.
Someone whose name is Elizabeth.
That's my name.
Elizabeth, your brother sends you word through me.
Yes. Yes, my brother. Where is he?
He couldn't come. He sends you word. Do not trust any but the firm of Gurney Sanders with your investment. Do you understand?
Yes, I understand. My brother was always afraid I'd...
I can do no more. I can do no more tonight. There is a disturbing influence here. The seance has ended. I am not well. Please, the lights. Another time. But please, now, go.
I want to talk to Vincent again.
Another time. Another time, please.
My brother. Can I get more word from my brother?
Another time, I tell you. Go, get out, leave me. I am not well.
The Raja turned up the lights, and the amazed people were hurriedly sent from the luxurious room. All but Abbott, who remained behind until the others had gone. And then...
You dirty, double-crossing crook. It's a good thing I came here tonight. Abbott, believe me, there was something wrong. I don't know what happened to Greer.
I can tell you what happened to Greer. You decided to play along with that Gurney Sanders firm, huh? I got the tip-off on that, Roger. That's why I came here tonight.
You're crazy, I tell you.
Oh, no, I'm not. You're the one that's crazy to think you could put something like that over on me. Maybe you thought my office wasn't swank enough for the society swells you had here, huh?
No, no.
You had Greer all primed to give that stuff out. Then when you saw me, you didn't get a chance to change the instructions.
It isn't true.
Oh, yes, it is. I'm not a blind fool, you know, Roger. Well, don't get the idea you can double-cross me.
All right, you blustering idiot. Just what do you propose to do?
I'm going to smash you.
Oh, no, you're not. Maybe you're the one that took that picture the other night.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe you thought a photograph of one of the ghosts would smash me. Well, let me tell you this. I know the law, and I've stayed inside the law. And that's more than you have done.
Oh, is it?
Yes, it is. You open your mouth and I'll send you to jail.
You can't do it.
Oh, yes, I can. There have been plenty of people who have gone to your place and bought worthless stock. There have been a lot of others that have bought stock from you and been told the stock went down. That what they bought on margin was wiped out. I happen to know, Abbott, that you never bought the stock at all. You just pocketed the dough. Well, don't get any foolish ideas about trying to make trouble for me.
You can't double-cross me and get away with it.
Who's that?
How do I know? Where is Greer? You can ask him. I didn't try to double-cross you, Abbott.
Greer, where are you? Answer the door.
I'll go myself. We'll continue this discussion a little later, Rajah. I'm not through by any means.
Where's he at? Stand aside. Let's go through the place.
Police, what's the meaning of this?
What do you want here?
Where's the Green Hornet?
The Green Hornet? I know nothing about the Green Hornet.
He's hiding out here someplace.
I just got the phone call a little while ago and we come right over. It's too bad he didn't do something about you two rats before he skipped out.
He's probably gone by this time.
Whoever called you is mistaken. There was no phone call from here and the Green Hornet has not been here.
And we don't want you cops around. Now clear out.
What are you doing here, Abbott?
I am reading his palm.
You think fast on your feet, don't you, Roger?
Let's have a look behind there.
One moment, officer. Maybe you've heard that a warrant is required before you can search a man's home.
You know all the laws, don't you?
Sufficient of them.
That's why I came here tonight.
Someone in there. Come on.
That's my voice.
Let's go see.
Maybe you thought my office wasn't swank enough.
You two talk. It's a frame-up.
Shut up. Let's listen. You had Greer all primed to give that stuff out. Then when you saw me, you didn't get a chance to change the instructions.
It isn't true.
Oh, yes.
Let me out of here.
Stay right where you are.
Turn that thing off.
Quiet, Roger. Looks like we got the goods on you at last.
Let me go. Let me get out of here.
No, you don't. Not so fast. That record will hold in court. Hang on to these two. We're taking you both in and that record as well.
No, no. It's a frame-up, I tell you. You can't do it.
Let me go. This intrusion. You have no warrant.
We're taking you guys in without a warrant.
Take that record along.
Who did it? Who did it?
Hey, look over there. Those two on the floor.
Holy mackerel. What's happened to them?
It's Greer.
Your helpers.
I knew there was something wrong. I told you, Abbott. I told you that Greer wasn't the one who appeared.
They're alive, all right. Just knocked out.
Yeah. We better call the boys and have the wagon sent over. This thing's bigger than we thought.
Yeah, take that record so we don't lose that.
I've got it. And hey, holy cats, look at this. I get it now. We were sent over here to get the Green Hornet. Okay. Look what's on the record.
The mark of the Green Hornet.
There he goes. He's outside. He sneaked out this window.
Boys, I'd say offhand the Hornet framed this whole thing.
I told you we were framed.
It won't hold in court.
Oh, yes. This will hold in court, Raja. And for once in his life, the Green Hornet's done a good turn for the police department.
Daily Sentinel, X Street paper! Read all about the Raja! Green Hornet set virtualist! Green Hornet to the North! Sentinel, X Street paper!
Apologies for some of the technical errors and delays, especially if you're trying to figure out what's playing online. This is the Ghost Who Talked Too Much by the Green Hornet. The original air date for this was the 30th of May, 1939. So the available episode 3, available as in by all sources, there's not a year lapse between the second availability and this one. I'm going to do a FCC requirement and go on to the second portion of the show.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Gun safety. WMFO, Medford.
Thank you, Digital George and Digital Henry. It's just one thing after another here. Because now the record player isn't working. I don't know. It queued up, but... Right, I'm going to go into episode 326, titled The Piano, Gunsmoke, an original air date of the 17th of August, 1958. This is Arthur listening to the Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM. I don't know if you'll be able to stream it because I can't figure out how to log in this morning. There's a new, seems to be a new system here. So thanks for listening. Sorry for all the dead air.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, the story of the violence that moved west with young America, and the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal, the first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely. You want some more pie, Kitty? You might as well, since Doc's paying for it.
No, thanks, Matt. I've had plenty.
Yeah, what happened to make you such a big spender, Doc? Some forgotten relative leave you something in his will?
Might as well, huh?
Well, what do you mean, Doc?
Well, you remember that cowboy got himself shot up in a Long Branch brawl? Oh, that was a year or two ago?
There's been more than one of them.
I know that, but Kitty might remember this. She helped stop the bleeding until I got there.
Oh, I remember, Doc. He didn't even have enough money to buy a beer.
And we figured he never would have.
Well, what happened to him?
Well, sir, I had a letter from him this morning. He's had some kind of a payoff in California. And he sent me a $20 gold piece to pay me for what he called my medical services.
Wow. Oh, that's fine, Doc. I'm glad he made out.
Yes, men like him don't often do it.
And you don't often get paid either.
Well, you never know in my business.
Dillon. Mr. Dillon.
It's Chester, Matt, at the door.
Oh. And you two, Doc,
hurry up. He means it, Doc. Excuse us.
Sir. He's gone back outside.
Somebody must be hurt.
Yeah, I didn't hear any shooting.
Now, there are other ways to get hurt, Doc.
Over here by the stage, Mr. Dillon.
Oh.
That man has been hurt, Matt.
That's the shotgun messenger, Doc.
Somebody must have held up the stage.
Mike got shot, Mr. Dillon. He's hurt pretty bad.
Let me take a look.
What happened, Chester?
Well, I don't know for sure. I seen the stage come in just now, and Mike was driving.
Mike was driving?
Yes, sir, so I knew something was wrong, and then I could see he is hurt, too.
Yeah, Doc.
He's trying to say something. Make it fast, man. I got to get him up to my office.
Mike, it's Marshal Dillon. What happened?
Held up. Driver killed.
Were there any passengers?
No. Currency. Shipment. 20,000.
Where'd it happen, Mike?
He's going out, Matt.
Mike. Try. Please try. Tell me where'd it happen. How many men? Huh?
North Hat Creek. Two men.
That's all, Matt. He's unconscious.
I'll find a couple of men to help you, Doc. Chester, go get our horses.
Yes, sir.
And hurry.
They went along here right now, Mr. Dillon. That cracked shoe shows up real plain.
Yeah, they've been riding hard, too. But they must have slowed down or stopped for a while somewhere.
Well, I hope they didn't get no more sleep last night than we did.
What's the matter, Chester? You getting old?
No, sir, it ain't that, but my gracious, 2 hours sleep. It just don't seem worth bothering about, that's all.
Well, I hope our friends bothered a little about sleep.
Now, if I was carrying $20,000 in bills, I wouldn't never stop.
Yeah? You'd have to be riding a pretty unusual horse, then.
Well, yes, I guess you're right, but...
Wait a minute.
Hmm?
Looks like they did stop, after all.
What?
They built a fire over there.
Yeah, it was them, all right.
Yeah, same tracks. I think we picked up a little time on them, Chester. Come on, let's pick up some more.
The shoveling started at the little town of Rome in New York State back in 1817. And on July 4th, 1967, the post office released a special sesquicentennial stamp there in honor of the big ditch they dug, which, it says on the stamp in my album here, was the Erie Canal. Now, in case you don't know, that canal went all the way from Buffalo on Lake Erie to the Hudson River, connecting the Great Lakes with the Atlantic Ocean. The biggest waterway ever built in the United States at the time, and it was done mostly by the Irish just over from the old country, who did their digging with spit and mussel. Yep. Made lots of money for years on tolls, and the traffic and freight and people through the canal was mainly responsible for building up the Midwest and keeping business in the East busy doing it. Well, of course, the Erie Canal ain't what she used to be, because the railroads do most of the job now. But the big ditch is still there, and so is all the history that went through it.
I swear, Mr. Dillon, them men are riding like they're stuck to the saddle. They're near dark again.
They'll have to stop someplace along here pretty soon, huh?
I don't know.
Hold up, Chester. Those tracks are heading down to those bushes along the creek here. Let's go easy.
Yes, sir. Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
Off yonder, above the stream there, there's a shack.
Yeah, I see it.
You think there might maybe a hit out in it?
Maybe. I'm not going to ride straight up to find out. We'll leave the horses here.
Yes, sir.
So we'll circle around back. Just keep low.
There's two horses tied up there.
Uh-huh.
Mr. Dillon, there they are.
Yeah. All right, hold it, Joe.
They're heading for the horses. You got him.
Yeah, but the other one's getting away.
He's out of range.
Chester, you go bring the horses up. I'll see about the man I shot.
Well, ain't you going after the other one?
He's got a pretty good head start, and it's near dark. I'm not going after him blind. Morning's soon enough.
All
now, go
right. on. You get my brother. You get wrecked.
Not yet. You hurt bad?
Yeah. Yeah, I sure am.
Chester!
Yes, sir?
Tie up those horses and come here. We'll carry him into the shack.
Be right there.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
This fellow's horse.
Well, what about him?
Well, his legs broke. He must have stumbled and he's trying to get away. You reckon I better shoot him?
All right, you can do it as soon as we get this man into the shack.
All right. Easy.
All right, open the door, Chester. I'll keep hold of him.
Why, it's locked. You suppose somebody lives in this forsaken place?
Oh, we'll find out. Go ahead and knock.
Anybody in there? Open up!
Anybody in there?
There's no need for any more noise at my door.
Just finished telling you men you can't stay in my house.
You don't need that shotgun, ma'am. We don't mean any harm.
I intend to defend my home, sir. No rough men are going to tramp around amongst my fine things.
You open the door a little wider, ma'am, and you'll see we're not the same men.
I don't open my home to any strangers.
I'm Marshal Dillon from Dodge City, and we got a badly injured man here.
A United States Marshal?
That's right, ma'am.
Well, then I guess I'll have to let you in. But I don't hold with your Yankee government. I want that clear.
All right, ma'am, fine. Come on, Chester. Now, you just show us where you want us to put him.
He hurt bad.
Yeah, bad enough.
Well, I suppose even a rough man has a right to die in a bed. But mind you, be careful of my things.
All right, ma'am, we'll mind.
Miller's horse, Mr. Dillon. I'll bring the saddle.
Ah, good.
Say, ain't things a little strange in there?
A little?
All that talk about not hurting her fine things. Why, there ain't nothing there that's worth carting away except maybe that old pine.
Yeah, I know.
Everything else is all cracked and broke. Why, most ladies wouldn't give that stuff house room.
You gentlemen would care to join me. I fixed a small supper.
Well, that's very nice of you, ma'am.
I'll just say it's nice.
Mr. Hanford. He's my husband. Mr. Hanford always said I could spot a gentleman right away. I could see you two were gentlemen as soon as we exchanged pleasantries there in the entryway.
Well, thank you, ma'am.
Mr. Proudfoot.
Ma'am?
Please take your hat off my cherry wood piano.
Ma'am, it can't hurt nothing.
I do not allow anything to mar the finish of my beautiful cherry wood piano.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Here's your plate. Please sit down.
Thank you.
I don't imagine your wounded friend will be able to partake.
No, Miss Hanford, he's not likely to come to for some time. As if he ever does.
I can't imagine how he got his wound. I had seen him just a few minutes before you gentlemen.
Miss Hanford, ma'am, didn't you hear the shooting right outside your door?
I have trained myself not to see and hear the ugly things of life. I just live here alone among my things.
But you said that you have a husband.
My husband has been gone for 4 years now, Marshal.
No, I'm sorry to hear that, ma'am.
Mr. Hanford, you'll never be content to live a quiet life. He thought he could when first we came here directly after the war. I had in mind he'd build me a new plantation. But, Marshal, just between you and me, Mr. Hanford didn't appreciate my lovely things. And one day... one day he just moved on west.
Oh, that's too bad, ma'am.
I do not need your pity, sir. I'm content.
Well, sure, of course.
I'd be obliged if you gentlemen would sleep out there on the veranda.
Veranda?
Oh, that's all right, Chester. We'll sleep on the veranda. I am going to have to keep an eye on Miller, though, ma'am.
I will watch over him, Marshal.
Well, no, that's not your job, Miss
Hanford. I'm mistress of this house, Marshal Dillon. I will watch over him. I will call you if there's any change. As a matter of fact, I'll look to him right now.
Well, all right, ma'am.
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, Chester.
Mr. Dillon, is that slanty old porch a veranda?
Well, it is to her.
My, if she don't beat all.
Towns in America have a lot in common, and yet they're each one of a kind. Take, for example, Valdez, Alaska. Since the earthquake on Good Friday in 64,
folks have been building all over again. Folks like Max Wells, whose hardware store reared up and moved back 2 feet. In those awful hours, fuel tanks exploded, there were scattered fires, and the entire dock disappeared. Men drove to 35 Mile Roadhouse for help. But that was then. Now, Valdez is moving to solid ground 5 miles around the bay. New houses are up, the city hall and the freight dock are in, and children are buzzing over to the new Groden Harrison Elementary School. Valdez is pretty much well again. Tourists come to this ice-free harbor and visit Valdez and Columbia Glaciers, over which early adventurers climb to the gold field. But if your hometown is Valdez, you already know this. We only wanted to remind you, it's still there.
Claire, Mr. Dillon, every time I dig a grave, the ground seems harder than the last time.
Our grave digging isn't supposed to be easy, Chester. It's too permanent.
Funny how many men dies at daybreak, ain't it? I mean, when everything else is starting up and all.
Well, I guess when you have to die, it's as good a time as any.
Where do you reckon his brother is by now?
Rack, I don't know. But we're sure going to have a long ride to catch up with him.
Yeah. I sure ain't one to hurry up a man about his dying, but I sure would have been glad to have been shut of this place for now.
What's the matter, Chester? Don't you enjoy southern hospitality?
Mr. Dillon, I have to walk around in that old shack on my tiptoes. She's after me every minute about not hurting her things. Gracious goodness, I couldn't hurt them old things if I tried.
Well, we can be leaving soon now, Chester. We've done about all we can do. Right?
Get out! Dillon, in them bushes.
Yeah, and my guns are in the house. Come on!
I believe it's customary.
Will you get out of the way, please? I want my gun over there.
What do you suppose that crazy fool's thinking of?
I don't know, Chester, but he must have a good reason for sticking around.
His brother?
No, I don't think he'd take on these odds when he was pretty sure his brother was done for. I think he's got another reason. Where's the saddle that came off Miller's horse?
Where? Over there in the corner?
Oh.
Be careful of your heavy footsteps.
Yeah, well, let's see now. Yeah, that's it. No wonder he stuck around.
All that money makes up into a right poor little package, don't it?
Mr. Dillon, I don't understand this sudden rudeness on your part.
I'm sorry, ma'am, but I'm not too polite when I'm being shot at. And you stay away from those windows.
I thank you not to give me orders in my own house.
Chester, let's push the piano in front of that window over there, huh?
Right.
We're like sitting ducks this way.
You will not touch my cherry.
All right, come on, Chester. Push.
Oh, don't harm it. Oh, don't harm it.
All right. Now I'll watch the front and you take the side, huh? I don't think you'll wait long.
How
long must I endure this? How long?
As long as that outlaw's out there, Miss Hendrick. He's not going to let us out of here alive.
You're going to stay here tramping around among my nice things until he goes away.
I'm afraid so, ma'am.
Well, I'll just order him off my land.
Miss Hendrick, come back here!
See here, sir!
Miss Hendrick!
You're trespassing! I want you to ride off...
He shot her.
Yeah. There he is, running for the creek.
He's down. You got him.
Yeah. You go make sure, will you, Chester?
Yes, sir.
I'll see to Miss Hanford. Miss Hanford. Miss Hanford.
I sure did it. You were right.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
He was no gentleman, was he, Marshal? On a lady's property.
No, ma'am, he wasn't.
She's dead, Mr. Dillon. How's Miss Hanford?
Not good. Not good at all. Miss Hanford, we're going to take you into your house now.
No, not just yet, Marshal. Don't move me. Let me die here on the veranda.
You'd be more comfortable.
Please, Marshal. I won't delay you long.
Well, is there anything we can do? I mean, is there any way to make you feel better?
If you would just
see. You just see that somebody takes care of my lovely cherub pants.
She gone?
Yeah. Well, I can carry her inside, huh?
Mr. Dillon?
Yeah.
She really believed Rack Miller would listen to her and go away, didn't she?
Yeah. That he was no gentleman.
Well, it's just a shame, that's what it is. His pine sure must play pretty. The way she loved it. Took care of it so good.
What are you doing?
Oh, I just thought I'd hit me a note or two. She wouldn't care, would she?
No, I guess she wouldn't.
Why don't play at all?
Huh?
And look here. Under the top. All the strings is rusted away. Just hanging there. Mr. Dillon, this pine ain't made a sound for years.
Hmm. Well, I guess I didn't have to play, Chester. Just had to look pretty. It was all she had.
If you will bear with me, is a quote from a speech rendered by that old political character, Elijah Cuddlestone. Now, I mean to say, tell you that is, that this man is a radical, mind you. Why, talk about change. He's used enough platform planks, even planks, that is, in this campaign alone to build you a new courthouse. I say, a new courthouse. And still have enough planks left over to construct a warehouse for all of his past mistakes. Well, Elijah was a bit outspoken, and that's how he used the word radical. Radical comes from radix, the Latin word for root. Actually, today, radical isn't much more than a term of abuse. Before the 18th century, radical essentially meant a person who wanted to get to the root of a matter. Toward the end of the 18th century, a group of English politicos became known as radical reformers, because they wanted to revamp the existing political setup. They became a hated crew because folks didn't like change. And radical became a term of low reproach.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Featured in the cast were Parley Bear as Chester, Howard McNear as Doc, and Georgia Ellis as Kitty. George Walsh speaking. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio.
As you heard, that was Gunsmoke, episode 326, The Piano, with an original air date of the 17th of August, 1958. It was a sustained show for the most part. I don't know what all that mumbo-jumbo was about earthquakes and all that. My apologies for all the technical difficulties this morning. Marco is up next. Hopefully he can figure out some of this digital stuff. I almost cussed. But anyway, you listen to at least 50 minutes of The Grand Hour with Arthur here on 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org. I'll close out the remaining 4 minutes with a little Jerry and Norma Stillwell and their bird recordings, bird songs of Dooryard Field and Forest. It's spring, and despite the rain, the birds were chirping. Thanks for listening.
Bird Songs of Dooryard, Field and Forest, recorded by Jerry and Norma Stillwell. Songs of Robins, Summer Tanagers, Scarlet Tanagers, and Rose-breasted Grosbeaks are similar. First, the rather indefinite carol of a robin. Songs of summer tanagers flow more smoothly, with more definite song patterns. Songs of scarlet tanagers have a husky quality, are rather short and lively. A rich, liquid quality and gliding notes distinguish the rose-breasted grosbeak. His call note is a metallic hick. Each orchard oriole has its own